जयं विश्वपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्रीमान अभय शरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी हरे शील प्रभुपाद की जयं नित्य लीला प्रविष्ट विश्वपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर श्री श्रीमान भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव बृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्त बृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गौर गोपीनाथ श्याम राधा गुंडगिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जोरगापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त बृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namam Shupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhudale Srimadeva Bhaktivedanda Swaminiti Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Prajayani Narvishesha Shunyavani Vashyati Deshadarini. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिदां भगवदां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रहिदां पुराण मुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी मम बत्वामनुसन्दधामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणि नमोऽस्तुते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायुधपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णप्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीप प्रपन्नपारिजाताय त्वोत्रवेत्रैकबाणाय ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दना पार्थो वल्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धम् गीतामृतम् महत् वसुदेवसुतम् देवम् कंसच्चानूरमर्दनम् देवकी परमानन्दम् कृष्णम् वन्दे जगद्गुरुम् भीष्मद्रोणतटाजयद्रतजला गान्धारनीलोत्पला शल्यग्राहवदी कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुल अश्वत्थामाभिकर्ण घोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनि सुतीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरणनदी कैवर्तकेशव पाराशर्यवज सरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटं नानाख्यानकेसरं हरिगदा सम्बोधनाबोधितं लोके सज्जनशल्पधैर्यहरः पेबीयमानं मुदा भूयाद्भारतपङ्कजकलिमलप्रध्वंसिनश्रेयसे मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्कं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपालमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं यं ब्रह्म वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुदस्तुन्यन्दिवेस्तवैर्वेदैः साङ्गपदैकमौपनिषदैर्गायन्दीयं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थितद्गतेन मनसा वशन्दीयं योगिनो यस्यां तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणे देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्द नाम सङ्कीर्तनम् गोविन्द गोविन्द इहैकस्थं जगत्कृष्णं पश्याद्यश्च चराचरं मम देहे गुडाकेश यच्छान्यल् द्रष्टुमिच्छसि कृष्ण सेज़ टू अर्जुन दैट यू कैन सी एवरीथिंग इन दिस फॉर्म यूनिवर्सल फॉर्म Specifically referring to the Vasus, Adityas, Ekadasha Rudras, Ashwini Kumaras, Marudevadas and all. These are all Devadas in the Vedam, spoken in the Vedam. Vedam, what Vedam says, these Devadas, you can see all of them in my form, Krishna said. So, actually, these Devadas, who are they? Aurobindo says that it is better not to try to understand them because many people have misunderstanding. So many Devadas spoken in the Vedam, like here, Ashtavasus, Ekadasharudras, Ashwini Kumaras, Marudevadas, all of them. And similarly, there are many other Devadas as well. The main ones. Someone asked about this question to Ramana Maharshi. Then this Vishnu, Shiva, are they all, do they exist in those forms? Maharshi's answer was, do you exist, first of all? If you exist, they also exist. Where is the difficulty, he said. Then, as much as your form has some logic, their form also has got a similar logic. Because naturally this question will come up. They are very forms which are not normal for the human mind to absorb. Vishnu's form, Shiva's form, all these forms. So, as much as logic exists for our forms, same way the logic exists for their forms as well. So, these Devadas, Puranam says like this, that, and Indra came to this world, Varuna came to this world. Mahabharatam says all these things, that they have come to this planet, Indra, Varuna and all that, right? So, apparently there were times when there was a traffic between this world and the world of the Devas. They have visited here. And similarly you see from the Puranams that our Rishis have gone to the heavenly planets. And that also you find there. The kings have gone, Katwanga went to fight the war in the heavenly planets and things like that. Arjuna went there to fight. So it was possible. And the problem is that we make judgments based on whatever we see with our eyes, is it not? We take that as the only possibility. Otherwise, everything else we reject. What we don't see, we don't perceive anything, then we reject it. That's the way people are, always like that, right? And similarly, if something that is not possible for us, we will say it's imagination. This is a human nature, isn't it? For example, going to Mars now. We are speculating a lot of things about Mars now. But once you have gone there and see the Mars, if it happens one day, then. And similarly, if someone else comes from another planet to this world, and then that mystery is over about that place where he came from, right? Till then, till you get acquainted with the place and the people, this mystery will be there always. Does it exist or not? So, suppose you ask all these questions, whether all these Devadas do exist or not. If they all come and stand in front of us, then the mystery is over. Till then you will ask this question, do they exist, do they exist? Right? So, Krishna is saying, you can see all of them now, all these Devadas. Vasus, Ekadasha Rudras, Marudevas, Ashwini Kumaras, and all of them, right? That is what he is saying here. Ihaigastam Jagal Krishnam. Right now you can see them, he said. Ihaigastam Jagal Krishnam. Pashyadhyascha Charajaram. Mama Dehe Gudagesha Yachanyal Drishtam Yachasi. He said, see all of them, Ekastam, in one place, right? Charam, Acharam, moving, non-moving, all of them. You don't need a screen. What is the screen? He's saying the screen is me. See me, see them in my form, in my body. Right? So this power what Krishna has shown, even yogis have got this power. Right? So there's an incident, this is recorded many times, that Ramakrishna Paramahamsa's spiritual master, Totapuri, then he had another guru, Jadadhari, and another one, a Bhairavi Brahmani. They were all his gurus at different levels, right? And there was, he had another, you can say in the modern world, godbrother. Yeah, had another godbrother who had also taken instructions from these gurus, right? But he was a great yogi, he was. He had many, many siddhis, right? One day he came to see Ramakrishna Paramahamsa. And Paramahamsa told him about some of his experiences, right? And they were walking along the Ganga River, on the river bank. They were walking together. And it got so late, while coming back, there were no street lights and all that them days. Everywhere it was dark. Once the sun sets, it's dark everywhere, right? So, he told Ramakrishna told his godbrother, that I can't see anymore. It is too dark now, he said to him. And I haven't brought any lamp with me to walk back, right? So this yogi, he was a yogi, this person who was with him. Yogi says to him, do not worry about it, and patted on his back. And as soon as he patted on his back, immediately there was a light everywhere. So you were saying yesterday, the yogis can see these lights inside. They can bring it out if they want, right? So from then on, he got sufficient light for him to walk back to his place, right? So all these are siddhis. Yogis have got these siddhis, right? And Paramahamsa says that these siddhis can also become a problem if you get attached to the siddhis, right? Because you see, so many things you can do. Like scientists do so many things with the dravyam. Dravyam means matter, isn't it? With the dravyam, they do all the things. Dravyam means all the matter available, different types of matter. Like you can see, different developments is centered around rare metals, which they dig out from the earth. Because each metal has its own property, platinum and so many other names they have got. And they want all that. Because using this matter, they can develop so many new technologies out of that, which are all siddhis basically. In the same way, with the sound also you can do that. And that is what the Shabda Brahmam is all about. Nada Brahmam, what they call it, Shabda Brahmam, right? So through mantram also, you can generate a lot of things through mantram. Science does this with, this is called a dravyam. Dravyam means matter, solid matter, right? That is dravyam. So science does with dravyam, the rishis do it with the sound. All using different medias, how to manipulate them in a proper way, right? So, so with dravyam, science is doing it, right? And you can see so many things what is spoken in the stories, old stories, the Amar Chitrakatha and all that. So many wonderful things are spoken there, right? And when you read them, you think that they are all impossible. But actually, it was possible at one time certain things. They have developed that shastram behind the sound with which they were able to develop all kinds of things. Like you can take, for example, our mobile phone today, right? We are talking to each other through mobile phone, and you can see it also, your form and their form in the mobile. At one time you could never think of such a thing, right? But this laptop, mobile, all these, as soon as it has become common usage, the mystery has gone. The mystery surrounding that is gone with that. Once it has become normal, practical with everybody, right? So, so similarly, Krishna has shown all these forms in his, this is Yoga Siddhi. so, he says, Vashyadhyascha characharam mama dehe gudakesha yachanil drishtum ichasi. It's not a big surprise that when they, Arjuna saw this form. Sarva ashcharyamayam devam nadumam sashyas shakyase drishtum aneneiva sajakshusha divyam dadami de chakshu pashyame yogam aishwaram. It is not surprising that all these things have happened. Why? Actually, this, what Krishna has shown is not the mystery. The real mystery is Krishna himself, is the mystery. Not all what he has shown to the people around, to Arjuna. Krishna himself is the mystery, right? So, you see here Krishna's life, if you look Krishna's time in this world, after Krishna moved to Dwarka from Vrindavanam, the cowherd man also went to visit Krishna in Dwarka to see him there. And they came back and told the gopis what's going on in Dwarka. And gopis could not connect with that, relate with that. He says he is not like before when he was here in Vrindavanam, right? He is a great personality now. He's got a big crown on his head and he sits on a throne all the time. And he's always busy. Many, many great people are coming to see him there. And he's a great king there. At that time, one of the gopis says to another gopi, right, I think our child is completely spoiled, they said to each other about Krishna. Because gopis don't know Krishna in that way. Gopi only knows him as a young cowherd boy in Vrindavanam. So, they're saying that he doesn't, the men told them, that he doesn't have the peacock feather and all, gone from there, doesn't have the flute, and all the time he's busy with politics. And all kinds of problems he has got there. And he is not like the way we sent him from here. He is in a different world altogether there, he said. So actually he got spoiled after going there, he said, to Dwarka, right? So ever since he had gone there, it's politics, wars, fighting each other. And and instead of the flute, apparently he carries this disc inside his, in his hand. He walks around with that. So gopis were not interested in any of the vibhutis of Krishna, right? And they were not interested in all these things. Their understanding of Krishna, relationship with Krishna was different. For them, Krishna is more important. Not all the other vibhutis, what was happening around Krishna, right? And gopis were not interested in the universal form or anything. They just wanted to see Krishna as he was there in Vrindavanam, right? So, Arjuna said to Krishna that he wants to see. Then later on he says, I don't want to see anything. He also said the same way. Initially he wanted to see everything. But when Krishna showed everything to him, he says, I don't want to see any of these things, he said. And then he said, Mama Dehe Gudagesha, see them all in my body, right? And stand there where you are, and you can see everything in me. Heigastam Jagal Krishnam, entire universe, time, space, everything. And you will see unlimited things. You will not see the end of any of these things, right? So, in the same way, our mind is like that. Yeah. We want to see first, and when we see, we can't handle it, cope with that. Yeah. For example, you see, now we are only seeing this planet, whatever within our capacity, isn't it? Suppose we start becoming free travel to all the other planets and free, it becomes one day, if it does happen, then it is not a surprise anymore. And then similarly, all what is spoken here, lot of galaxies, universes exist. It says so. And today it is in our, is a mystery for us. But if it does happen, then we are able to travel those places. It's not a surprise anymore. So that is how our mind, is like that, right? So, so similarly, people are inquiring all the time, where is this? Where they're inquisitive to find out where all these things exist. Even if they can find out, they'll look for Vaikuntham also. If they can get to find a way to travel there, to Vaikuntham, right? So just like we show so many things in our books, isn't it? So many planets we show, and how they are all floating in the universe. We see Golokam, we show different Vaikunthams, and we given the name for each Vaikuntha planet, and they are all floating in the air. So all these things, right? And people are traveling to all these Vaikuntha planets. Pictures like that, people have drawn all that in the pictures, right? So it is nice to see all that, right? And how do you inquire, how do you find out all these things? So many planets away, right? And there is no end for the space. Just like time has no end, space is also no, it is unlimited, goes like that, right? So that is why he's saying there, Pashyadya Sacharacharam, moving, non-moving, everything. Mama dehe gudakesha. So, mama dehe gudakesha. And that is why Krishna's body is difficult for us to understand. It is chit shariram, it's called. Tudvabhu chidrasardram. That's a word used in Narayaniyam. Tudvabhu chidrasardram. Kashtade srishti cheshta. Bahudara dekhedaha jiva bhaja. Ityevam purva malo jitam ajitam ayvaya. Naiva madhyabi jani. No jail jiva kathamva. Madhuradharamidam tudvabhu chidrasardram, it says. Krishna's vabhu, body, is chit. Chidrasardram, right? And in the sense that it is chaitanyam. Body is chaitanyam, right? And what Krishna is saying to Arjuna is, in chaitanyam, you can see whatever you want. Because everything is dependent on chaitanyam. It is in Chaitanyam everything exists, right? So, if you, in your Sangalpam, if you want to see something, you can see that also in this Chaitanyam, right? So, Vedam says like this, Vedam says so. Vedam says, if you develop any Sangalpam inside, a desire inside, it will happen. It may not happen immediately, because there is an influence of time in between. But if we have cultivated a vasana inside, that vasana will be fulfilled either in this life or in the next life or in the life after. Like that. That is why they say why you should not cultivate vasanas. If you develop desires inside, it will be fulfilled. It will definitely be fulfilled one day or the other. It may not happen right away, straight away. But it will happen. For that you may have to accept another body and come back. But in due course of time, it will be fulfilled. This is the reason not to cultivate vasanas inside, desires inside, right? So, the problem with that is that you will have to come back many more times if you have created desires, right? You can keep on desiring and you keep on coming back and fulfill those desires, right? So, once you stop the desires, then it is over. Then it won't happen again. It is to make this point clear to us, Puranjana Vakyanam. You remember that person, he was Puranjana. He kept on building houses. And every time, in different places, what's that all about? It is a alligatory, what do you call it? Allegorical story it is, right? It doesn't really mean anything. It is to explain this point to us. That you create desires, you will keep on building houses, means homes, different bodies. And you have to keep on transmigrating from that. So, and finally, when all the desires have stopped, and then he finally that is that point when he comes as a Brahmana, the bird, and takes him together, they flew off. Story looks like very strange story. But that story is trying to tell us that when the attention gone away from this desire-making business, completely towards the soul, when it happens, then ultimately you are released. This no more further desires developing inside, right? So Krishna is also saying here that if you have any sushma vasana inside, desires, it means, sushma vasana means desire, right? It will fructify, Krishna said. Here, now. Mama dehe gudakesha yachanyal drishtumichasi. Drishtumichasi. If you have any desires inside, you can see now in me everything. That's what it is. Mama dehe gudakesha yachanyal drishtumichasi. You can see everything in me, he said. So, what you are seeing now, and if you want anything else to see, also you can see here. Right? So, this power, even yanis have got, right? In the Dakshinamurti Sotram also, it says at the end that Sarvatmattva Mahavibhuti Sahitam Swasyad ஈஸ்வரத்துவம் சுதா சித்தியேல் தல் புனரஷ்டதா பரிணதம் ஐஸ்வர்யம் அவ்யாஹிருதம் சர்வாத்மத்துவம் ஹா விபூதி சகிதம் சியாத் ஈஸ்வரத்துவம் சுதா சித்தியேல் தத் புனரஷ்டதா பரிணதம் ஐஸ்வர்யம் அவ்யாஹிருதம். So this Jnani's case is like that because they have realized Chaitanyam. Chaitanyam is their identity, is it not? So that means Chaitanyam means unbroken consciousness, akhandam. It is unbroken, one consciousness present everywhere. That is Chaitanyam. So those who are in touch with that, like the Jnanis, they can also do the same thing. And they don't have to go elsewhere to see something or to hear something what is so spoken elsewhere. And it will all happen where they are now because they are connected with the source. They are connected with the source, right? And this is in many great personalities' case, this is spoken. That this kind of experiences, right? There's one, I think he is... American Humphreys, who came to see Ramana Maharshi, and he talks in they met up in Virubaksha Guha. There's a cave in the Tirunamalai, Virubaksha Guha, right? And when they met each other, Maharshi told him many things about his life in America. What happened in his life, Maharshi was able to tell him that, right? And he said, where you come from in America, your village, where he came from, this Humphreys who came from, right? How are they able to say this? Maharshi hasn't gone to America. Maharshi hasn't read the place about the details and all that. He's not keeping them in their mind either. What happens is that when these people come, when the visitors come, the Jnanis can see them inside. All their memory and all their thoughts is felt by the Jnani. He is able to penetrate into that. That means into your subtle body. They can penetrate and see inside your subtle body what is going on. Your thoughts, your emotions, everything known to them. Right? So, and this is not a new thing. This has happened to many, many great personalities. Right? They were able to say, you go to see them, and that's why you have to be careful when you go to see them, that you can cover up, you can't hide anything from them. They will know what is going on inside you. They will, because they have that, yeah, that is Jnani means. Jnani means that you are in touch with the consciousness. You are in touch with the consciousness. You become, that if you become, self-realization happens, this one consciousness is present in everybody, which we call as Atma, the soul, right? So everything what is happening in other places, they will be able to straight away talk about it because they are in touch with the source. So, and there is a reason, not a long time back this happened. You heard about this Subramanya Swami in Delhi, who is a BJP man, but he's always arguing and fighting about various things, right? Yeah. This Subramanya Swami is not particularly religious person, but he is a famous lawyer at one time. He was teaching in America, university and all that, right? So this Subramanya Swami had a lot of respect for Paramacharya. He's not a believer in anything, in a particularly religious person. You can't say like that. He goes to see Paramacharya once, and they have a conversation about it. So while going, this is long back, you're talking about 50, 60 years ago. So Paramacharya is in Kanchipuram. So he went to Vellore, a nearby town, and from Vellore to Kanchipuram, you have to go by car, right? So when he was, you can imagine, them days transport facilities were very poor, and today a lot of flashy cars are driving around everywhere in India now. When you go, in them days, the ambassador, everywhere only ambassador. So he managed to get a taxi from Vellore and go into Kanchipuram. So on the way, his tire got punctured, and that was also common those days. Tires getting punctured You may not know this because today cars are all equipped with much more modern facility things, isn't it? So, but then the car broke down and tire punctured and he got stuck, and it was night time as well. When this happened there, Paramacharya in the Kanjivaram, in a Kamakshi temple in his matham, he knew that the car's tire punctured there. And he sent somebody from here, from the matham, to him, told him that you go, he will be there on the way. You see him there. Subramanya Swami was shocked. How did this help come? So like AA, he sent him this with a person to assist him, you know, to help come, to get him to come back to the matham. He says about this later that I couldn't believe this, he said, that somebody had come with a tire at the 2 o'clock in the night to help me with the change in the car tire for the taxi what he has hired, right? So this is Jnani's nature, is like that. Paramacharya, many people used to say that he will know so many things. You go in front of him, he will tell you what is going on inside you. There's so many stories about like that. You will find it spoken about him in that way. There is a story of another person. It is much more interesting, that one. He lived in a village near Kanchipuram. He came to see Paramacharya once. And Paramacharya told him that, I want a favor from you, he said. So he says, what favor can I give it to him? He is asking a favor from me, he said. He said, it is like this, that I want your house, you give it to me, he said. This is a bit difficult thing, isn't it, for anybody to give his house to somebody. So Paramacharya said, no, we will make arrangements for you to stay somewhere else. And that person said that, I'll think about it, let me go home, talk to my wife, children, everybody. And if they are agreeable, Matham wants it, Kanchi Matham wants it, I'll put it to them. And if they agree, then I don't mind, he said. So because somehow or the other he wanted to move away from that, because it in his mind he was thinking, how is it possible that... So Paramacharya told him that, I will give you a space to stay from the matham, but I want your house, he said. So he went back home, discussed with his family members everything, and then they all said, Paramacharya is saying this, we should have to give it, if they are going to give us a space. With a lot of reluctance they decided to say yes. They said yes to Paramacharya. Paramacharya made arrangements for them to stay in another place. And he sent the people from here to this house in the village. Go and dig there, he said. And they went and they dug there. Nothing they found. And then there was a toilet there. They dug there also. And underneath that, a massive Shivalingam there. And Paramacharya knew even the name of that Shivalingam there. Padmanabheshwara or something like that is the name. Padmanabheshwara, I think. That's the name of that particular Shivalingam there. It was during the Muslims' invasion. They have smashed that temple. There was a temple there. They have smashed the temple. Many years ago this has happened. And later on, when everything was smashed and land was lying there, somebody built the house there. And they were not aware of that. The people who lived in the house, they were not aware of that. They had all the toilets, everything built, and they were living comfortably on top of that, on that Shivalingam. But Paramacharya knew that Shivalingam was a famous Shivalingam. And then he sent people from the matham, excavated the place, took out the Shivalingam from there. Then all other ceremonies, whatever purificatory processes were all done, Shivalingam was again worshipped in another temple then. A new temple was built for that date, Shivalingam there. So there are so many stories like this, that he was aware of many things what others were not aware of. This is the power of the Jnani. So Jnanis also have that nature. So and they won't exhibit that. They won't exhibit that normally. But in extreme cases, when they find it necessary, they will do it. Right? So it will manifest in them. It will manifest in them. This Isharatvam, Aishwaryam, this Aishwaryam will come to them, right? So, What is important here is to understand is that when you say these stories, some people will find it difficult to believe all this. You know that. Eh? People find it difficult to accept that, right? And the reason why it is spoken is that the reality of this world is also limited. You can't accept everything based on matter. You see, the science and these archaeologists and all, they have created an impression in us. Matter is real. Matter you can trust, right? But all this is lie. If you look at it from the absolute platform, matter also you can't trust. If you think you can trust matter, because it comes from the ground underneath, therefore it must be truth. That's the modern thinking, isn't it? Archaeologists and the people who dig everywhere, and then they come out with some theory or some conclusions, and they tell that, oh, we have dug out and we got this information, and they say that it is perfect in that way, right? So, to get us understand that matter also is not an authority on all this truth, as far as truth is concerned. Our present concept is like that. If it is visible for the eyes, if it comes from the ground, it must be true. This is how we study the history now, is it not? All our archaeologists, there's a department everywhere now, archaeology, and they are digging out things from different places. And they are trying to tell us, because it came from such a depth, 1 or 2 kilometers down, they have dug and got it out. And they say, and then they start speculating on that basis, right? So, there also, what has gone underground also, you can't trust that completely, what has gone inside the ground, right? Many, many things have happened in the material nature. It is not that everything gone under the ground is all truth, and if you take it out, it becomes suddenly the reality. It is not so, right? So, they are also made of dream products, what has come from the ground, right? That is why in Srimad Bhagavatam, to make this point very clear to us, right, that Krishna came out of the pillar. If you say like that, Krishna came out of the pillar, right, for Prahlada, right? So, he can come from anywhere. If you have that bhavam inside, Prahlada had the bhavam. So, Prahlada was, now, if you say to someone that Narasimha Murthy appeared from a pillar, it will be very difficult for an ordinary person to think like that, isn't it? They will find it very difficult to accept that your God has come out of a pillar. And we keep telling people that he has jumped out of the pillar. And people are thinking still, they are not convinced that how is that possible? People ask that question. How can, pillar is solid thing. Pillar is a solid thing. There is no hollow space inside for a huge form like Narasimha to come out from that. How did he come out? So, the important point to realize this is, this Isharatvam, or this power of Chaitanyam, Chaitanyam's power can manifest anywhere. That is the difficult part to understand, right? We are saying solid world, everything is solid for us, is it not? When you see some solid thing, you take it for that it is solid. There is no such thing as solid anything, right? It's all dream only. In this daydream, we are accepting that. So, and that is why Upanishad is saying, Uttishtada, Jagrada, Prapya Varan Nibhodada, that wake up from that dream, right? However nice the dream may be, it is a dream at the end. The world is a dream. This world is a dream. But we cannot accept it that way because of our conditioning. Through the way we are used to now, through our eyes, we got so used to using the senses and accepting everything what comes through the senses as the truth. We got used to that. That is our conditioning, right? So, Krishna is saying here, ఇహైవస్థం జగల్ కృష్ణం పశ్య అధ్యష్ట చరాచరం మమ దేహే గుడాకేశ. వాట్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ ఇస్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ చైతన్యం. ఇన్ చైతన్యం యూ కెన్ సీ వాట్ ఎవర్ యూ వాంట్. దాట్స్ ద వే, దాట్ ఈస్ హౌ ఇట్ ఈస్. ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ దాట్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈస్ కెప్ట్ పర్టిక్యులర్ ప్లేస్. చైతన్యం హ్యాస్ ద పొటెన్సీ టు రివీల్ టు అస్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్. దాట్ ఈస్ చైతన్యం. అదర్వైజ్ ఇట్స్ నాట్ చైతన్యం. చైతన్యం మీన్స్ చైతన్యం హ్యాస్ దిస్ కెపాసిటీ. మ్యాటర్ హెస్ కమ్ ఫ్రమ్ చైతన్యం, ఇసన్ ఇట్. సో ఎనీథింగ్ ఇన్ మ్యాటర్ వాట్ ఎవర్ యూ సీ ద నేమ్స్ అండ్ ఫార్మ్స్ దే ఆల్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ ఇన్ చైతన్యం. చైతన్యం ఈస్ ద సోర్స్, రైట్? అండ్ కృష్ణ ఈస్ దాట్ చైతన్యం. ఇహైగస్థం జగల్ కృష్ణం పశ్య అధిష్ట చరాచరం. ద ఇంపార్టెన్స్ ఆఫ్ చైతన్యం, నాట్ మ్యాటర్. మ్యాటర్ ఈస్ ఆన్ ఈస్ అ మోర్ గ్రోస్ లెవెల్. ఇట్ ఈస్ వెన్ ద మ్యాటర్ ఈస్ ఇన్ ఇట్ సటిల్ ఫార్మ్, ఇట్ ఈస్ చైతన్యం. చైతన్యం ఈస్ ఇట్ సటిల్ ఫార్మ్, మ్యాటర్ ఈస్ ఇట్స్ గ్రోస్ ఫార్మ్. అండ్ వీ గాట్ యూస్ టు దిస్ గ్రోస్ ఫార్మ్స్, నేమ్స్ అండ్ ఫార్మ్స్, అండ్ వీ కెన్ ఓన్లీ నౌ రిలేట్ విత్ దిస్ గ్రోస్ నేమ్స్ అండ్ ఫార్మ్స్. వీ కాన్ సీ దాట్ దిస్ సటిల్ ఫార్మ్ కాల్డ్ చైతన్యం క్యారీస్ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ ఇన్ దమ్, ఇన్ చైతన్యం. అండ్ ఇట్ క్యాన్ throw it out as and when it wants, whichever form it wants to reveal to us. That is why we have all the varieties of forms in this world coming from the Chaitanyam. So, and Arjuna says to him, I am not able to see anything, he said. I can't see anything, right? And then Krishna says, I will give you some special power to see, like the nowadays they give these 3Ds, isn't it? In the same way, right? And saying that nadumam sakyase drashtam, next verse, nadumam sakyase drashtam anenaiva sachakshusha divyam dadami de chakshu pashyame yogamaishwaram. When you read all these things, if you are first time reading it, you will tend to think, is this all looks, doesn't look very practical, isn't it? Because divyam dadamide chakshu pashyame yogamaishwaram, right? So, if you look into Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna says this about this Vishwarupa Darshanam. In Ekadasham, if you look in the 15th chapter, it is the same thing what Krishna is saying to Arjuna, spoken to Uddhava there. How he says to Uddhava, 20th verse, 11, 15, 20. Chakshus tvashtari samyojyam, tvashtraram abhi chakshushi, mam tatra manasa dhyayan, vishyam pashari sushmadrik. That's how Krishna puts it. Vishyam pashari sushmadrik. That sushmadrik. Sushmadrik means able to see things in a subtle level. That capacity to see things which are very subtle. We don't have that. We only have this physical eyes with which you have to see. We don't have that subtle vision. Krishna is saying to Uddhava, mam tatra manasa dhyayan vishwam pashyati sushmadrik. Then he will see the world in its subtle form through this dharana, manasadhyayan. Chakshus tvashtari samyojyam tvashtaram abhi chakshushi. Provided you develop that dharana process. Because that chapter, 15th chapter, Krishna is saying the different yoga siddhis you can develop through different dharana processes. Yeah? Different dharanas. If you do dharana in this way, that way, so many things. All the Aishwarya siddhis spoken there. So, finally Krishna is saying that Vishwam Pashyati Sushmadrika. Yeah. So, in a particular place, if you perform Samyamam, then Vishwarupa Darshanam is possible. Vishwam Pashyati Sushmadrika, he is saying. So, yogis can do that. So, this Viral Swarupam, or this Vishwarupam is possible for them to see, if they want to see it, provided they do that dharana. Right? Same thing, Vedavyasa Maharshi in Hastinapur, Mahabharata war was going on, and he gave the power to Sanjaya to see the war. Isn't it? You know, famous thing, right? He says, you can sit here and see the war going on in Mahabharata war. We think that this is all new technology only. They didn't know anything. They were all coming from the caves and they had no idea. This is the problem with the modern world. We think that we have reached some high perfection in life. This is known to the rishis and the sages long, long ago. 5,000 years ago, Vedavyas showed Mahabharata war going on in Kurukshetram for Sanjaya, who was sitting in Hastinapur in Delhi. And what happened after that? You can sit here and see the war going on there, he said. Gave the power, Vedavyas was able to give that power to Sanjaya to do that, right? And then he asked Dhritarashtra that, do you want to see this? What the war is going on there, he said. I don't want to see it. I just want to hear what is going on there. In other words, he said, I don't want the video. I want only the audio, he said. Who? Dhritarashtra. Dhritarashtra said, I just want the audio, not the video. Right? That is how Sanjaya spoke. Everything what was saying, he was talking to Dhritarashtra. And Dhritarashtra is hearing what was happening in Kurukshetra, in the battlefield. So, Nahimam Shakyase Drashtam Anene Ivasachakshusha Divyam Dadamide Chakshu Vashame Yogamaishwaram. That Krishna said that I'll give you that power. So, what does that mean? Krishna didn't bring any modern equipments. He just was able to give it to Arjuna, that power to see, right? And you can see that form of me, he said. Nadumam Vishwarupadaram Shakyase Drashtam Aneneva Pragradena Sajakshusha Sogiyena Chakshusha Yenato Shakyase Drashtam Divyanata Divyam Dadamide Tubhyam Chakshu Tena Pashyame Yogam Aishwaram Isharasya Mama Aishwaram Yogam Yoga Shakti Adishayam Ityartaha. That yoga power in Krishna, that yoga siddhi, Krishna used that for Arjuna and given that power for Arjuna to see. So that is yogic power. Right? So, Krishna said, these eyes you won't be able to see. You need that internal eyes. Right? Divyam dadami de chakshu. So, all spiritual life is like that. This is the thing to understand. Spiritual life is not like in the material life. Material life, all these eyes, with the eyes what you see, that you believe that only. You don't believe anything else. Right? So, but all realizations, spiritual realizations, is all internal thing. It's internal matter, right? And you see all of those things with your internal eyes. With your internal eyes. So, that is why when we study Shastram, we are not able to connect with that. Why? Because we haven't developed this subtlety in us. This is our main problem. And a lot of things in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, is all done inside. It is realizations and it is the impact of Krishna's impact on them inside. Everything is inside. And therefore, even when in the traditional system, when Guru teaches Shastram to the disciple, right, there is a blessing to the disciple from the Guru to realize things what he is teaching him, to giving him a power to realize whatever being taught. Otherwise Guru knows it won't work. So Guru prays to Dakshinamurti to Dakshinamurti to give the power to the disciple to experience what the Guru is saying to him. You see, can you imagine a teaching like this way? And our method of teaching is what? PowerPoint and all the other things, the equipments. Whereas this is totally dependent on your spiritual vision. That vision, power of vision has developed, right? You can see this in Bhagavatam. Before Lord Brahma was given, Bhagavatam, Charislogi Bhagavatam, right? Krishna says to Brahma, first I will bless you to understand what I am going to say to you, he said. If you look into the 9th chapter, in the 2nd canto, before the, that, Shri Bhagavan Vacha, 30, verse 30, Jnanam, I am going to speak to this to Brahma, right? Jnanam, Paramaguhyam, ye, yad vijnana samanyvitam, sa rahasyam, tadangam cha, grihana gadidam maya, grihana gadidam maya, right? Yavanaham, yathabhavo, yadrubam, gunakarmaka, tathaiva, tattva vijnanam, asude, mad anugrahal. What is that anugraham? This one. The same what Krishna is saying to Arjuna now. By my anugraham, by my blessing, Krishna is saying to Brahma, you will understand Charislogi Bhagavatam. Otherwise, you won't understand. You see? It's not something you can explain it. It has to come from Krishna's mercy. Andaryami inside. Krishna is Brahma's Andaryami is also Krishna. So Krishna says to Brahma that I will give you that blessing means that the Andaryami inside you will reveal to you the meaning of this Charislogi Bhagavatam. That is how it is spoken, right? And that is why I said, Tadangam cha grihana gadidam maya, yad vijnana samanyidam. Jnanam paramaguhyam. Jnanam is the knowledge of the intelligence. Vijnanam means realization of that inside. So with both jnanam and vijnanam together, sa rahasyam, that is the confidential thing. Tadangam cha grihana gadidam maya. Grihana gadidam maya, right? So, and tattva vijnanam astude mad anugrahal. It will happen, right? So, otherwise, with our sthula buddhi, with our gross intelligence, we won't understand it. We won't be able to understand with our gross intelligence, right? So, so this vision, able to connect with what is spoken in the Shastram, we do require what is called Kripa, Krishna's mercy. Otherwise, nothing will have any effect on us. We will read, we will hear a lot, but unless Krishna's mercy comes, all this thing what is spoken in the Shukha Brahmarshi and here Krishna also, it will be very difficult for us to relate with it, you see, because it is too subtle. Only once we have developed that sushma buddhi, the subtle buddhi, only then you will start, that subtle buddhi Krishna has to give it to us. Andaryami has to give it to us from inside, right? So, there is a Patanathar story, it is famous on that, right? Patanathar says that my guru instructed me, I didn't understand anything, he said. He said this, I didn't understand anything, right? So then he says to the guru, whatever you have spoken, I can't understand. He said, no worry about it, I'll give you a special power for that, right? And whatever I am saying, you will experience it inside, says to him. So, avidya inside, there is an avaranam inside, which is not allowing us to experience things. That avidya inside us, right? So, the weed, in other words, it's a weed inside, right? The jyoti, andaryami inside us, he, with his mercy, you will know things. Otherwise, it is not possible. But the weed is there. So, how did he see that then? The eyes are same, but it gets divinity. It gets divinity, right? So, The proper understanding of this is that this is little subtle, but you understand what I'm saying. Normally, what do you think? I've seen with my own eyes, we say. Is it not? I have seen with my own eyes. We'll say this. And we'll say in the court also, when we go there. It is a lie, actually. It is a lie. I haven't seen. Because Antaryami saw it, I got the experience of it. That's the way to say it. Proper way to say it is, because if I am dead, with this eye, if I open, do I see anything? Actually, who is seeing? Antaryami is seeing it. Antaryami goes through this channel and recognizes something. Antaryami gives the experience inside. And that's what we say, I have seen it with my own eyes. So that statement itself is false. That I have seen something. It's a false statement. You haven't seen. Antaryami has seen. Antaryami picked up the object. Antaryami brought it inside. Antaryami gave you the experience. So who has seen it? Antaryami saw that, right? So, and that Antaryami, that is why Upanishads is saying, yes, sarvajnaha, he knows everything, that Antaryami, right? Sarvavidha. He knows everything. Sarvajnaha, sarvavidha, right? So, all-knowing things, all-knowing, that Jyotisa, Antaryami, inside, right? So, if you have a little bit of mercy from that Antaryami, Kripa, from that Antaryami, you will develop the power to see things what normally you may be able to see through your gross eyes. What you are. So, everything is actually, how far Antaryami is supporting you, and that makes your vision more subtle. Vision more subtle, right? Right now in our present state, we see something with our gross eyes, and whatever that Antaryami is allowing, we are seeing that, and that's in that level it is, right? But if the Antaryami wants us to see something which is more subtle, he can make us happen that way. Do that, right? And rishis knew this very well. This cycle. So, you see how gross we are. You can see from this itself. We say we are seeing. I've seen with my own eyes. I keep saying. What have I seen with my own eyes? That means eyes are seeing. Actually, Krishna is seeing inside. Antaryami is seeing that, right? And this is in the nature also. If you observe carefully, it is in the nature, right? For example, for us, everything is, we need instrument. Without the watch, I cannot know the time, right? And and other living, other birds, animals and all, they don't have a watch, have they? But they know the time. How do they know? How do they know? It shows that Antaryami has given them some power, what we don't have. See, for example, the here also you see that, because but the sun rises at different times here throughout the year, isn't it? But in India, if you notice, before sunrise, a couple of hours before, the birds will start making the noise. Everybody knows this, isn't it? The chirping starts. Sun has not come yet, but they are able to make that sound, and they know the sun is almost there. You must have seen this, observed this, isn't it? So, they know how, they have not seen the light, but they know how to feel the light, coming. They are already able to sense it. Where is that power coming from? Whereas if we are stuck in a dark, if we don't have this, we are in trouble. And they don't have a problem. All the birds, by about 4-5 o'clock, the crows start making their sound, different types of birds. The sun hasn't come yet. It is still dark, but they know it is almost there. They don't do it at the midnight. They come do it at about 4-5 o'clock in the morning. Because if sun rises at 6, they'll start making this sound around 5 o'clock, 5:30, like that, right? So they don't need to see the light, but they can feel it inside of the sun coming, right? So that sense of able to say how the nature works, that we have lost it. We also had that before this was invented. Many people knew how to get up at a particular time in the morning without the clock, without the watch, right? Because this is the problem when you start using so many different types of instruments, the powers what Krishna has given to us become dysfunctional. It loses, and then we become like one of the machines at the end, right? So, so instruments, this is what it does. Our natural power, many things Krishna has given us, we have lost that power now. And then we are battling with everything, with our instruments. We are battling with the instruments, right? So, most of the things now, without instruments we can't do it. It's not. Our capacity has gone. Capacity has gone, right? So, and if you keep stopping these instruments, you will know that you have certain powers Krishna has given to us, right? For example, the mind, right? Suppose if you stop using this mind, right, then you may not need many things like hospital. You may not need hospital. Because of the mind only you are running to hospital. Similarly, pharmacy, all the medicines. All these things because mind is constantly creating the problem, right? So, you will know things, what you require yourself, you will be able to cure your own illnesses in your own body. Somehow or the other, we have developed a system like this that we need a separate department to treat this body, called the NHS. And we need a setup like that, a massive setup. And everything, you see people running to them all the time, for every little thing. We go there to the doctor. For every little thing, you run there, right? So, but historically people were not like this. They didn't live like the way we are now. Most of the illnesses were treated at home with whatever plants or herbs available in the compound, in the gardens. And they had all had short methods of using the ghee, milk, yogurt and things like that and able to cure most of the illnesses. You think people didn't live in this world before all these things have come? What can you do? Similarly, you look at so many things in life, yeah? You know all the animals and birds? Before death comes, they know it. That death is, they are going to die. They know that. And if you observe them, you will see they will go quietly and lie down somewhere to leave the body. We are the only species who don't know when the death is coming. Completely confused. We lot. We don't know when the death is going to come. And we live in this fear, right? So, and we are supposed to be the most advanced in all the species. And we are the ones who don't even have that knowledge, right? So, elephants, have you noticed how they die? When they are in the forest, if an elephant gets sick, all other elephants know that he's going to die or she is going to die. So that sick elephant will go and lie somewhere. And all the other elephants will come and stand near him, the dying one. And when they know that he is dying, and when it is dead, they will quietly walk away from there. So just like in the cremation grounds, right? And sometimes they know within a week or so that elephant will die. So all the other elephants, they all know that. They'll come and stand near this elephant, right? Till they die and then they will go away from there. Similarly, crows, have you noticed? Crows does the same thing, right? And Nobody will eat them. Gross, like that, right? You also won't see crows lying anywhere dead in the normal way. Okay, when you get electrocuted in the electric line and all, they will die. Or through, if you hit by a car, or like you could see that. But otherwise, what happens to their dead body? The crows will drag them and they will bury them somewhere. In such a way, you won't even notice it, that they are dead. So many things in the nature, the birds, animals, they all have been given, Krishna has given that power, and they use it completely. Not like us, that we have to develop our own technology for everything. So, and what do? We cremate and then we build a tomb around that. They don't do any of these things. Because body, after at the end of the day, this body, how important it is this body. And we have developed this whole shebang around that, about this body business, right? You go and then all these crematoriums and then burning the body there with the most advanced technology and turns into ashes. And we, even devotees are thinking that these ashes are, that after this crematorium has to be taken there. So we do all these things, but understanding is not right. That this body is not that important as we think that it is, right? Nature is, Maya has given us this, and one day it will end, and it will go its own way, and it is, and Maya has also given us some power, how to understand this body, and we lost that power now. That's what has happened, right? So, and all these birds, when you die, you don't see them. They all disappear, right? Creation, whole creation, Krishna is running. That understanding is required, right? And if we start looking after the creation, then we will end up in problems, right? So, even cat and dog, it has got its own power, right? If you look at them, how they manage themselves, right? When they get sick, they will just keep going smelling some plants here and there. And they know which one to eat. They'll go and bite that plant and they get cured. That mechanism, Krishna has provided like that, right? Cats know this, monkeys know that, dogs know that. Which one to tea, right? So, they will go something, do something, and you will notice that when they are sick, how they behave. If you carefully observe them, how the cats behave, how the dogs behave. They have their own ways of finding the medicine for their illness. And it will be somewhere in the ground, and they will go and get it on their own. And that power, they don't have a MBBS doctor or somebody to tell them anything. Everybody does individually what they have to do. And that's how they survive in this world. Out of all different species, we are the one who are in maximum trouble. We have got the biggest problems, right? Because we are dependent on mind and intelligence. Too much on the mind and intelligence, right? And then what we have done, with this mind and intelligence, we have created all the instruments. And we are stuck in this. Mind, intelligence and the instruments, right? Therefore what happens? The original knowledge, what Krishna has given to us, we lost it. We became dependent on our mind and intelligence and on the instruments because of that. So, therefore, this knowledge, what Krishna is saying to Arjuna, it has to be given to you now, to Arjuna, he says, right? Because everything that happens to spiritual life happens inside. Yeah, it happens inside, right? For example, if you see Mahatmas in the dream, or great personalities, great devotees, great jnanis, great yogis, if you see them in the dream, We should not take it simply as a dream. It is not just a dream, right? And that is, you have to see that there must be a reason behind that, why they have come in the dream. It's not like what you dream normally from the outside people, right? And many great people received their upadesham in the dream. Mantra-upadesham was given in the dream. Actually, what happens in the dream is more powerful than, on a spiritual level, is more powerful than what happens in the vacant state. If you take vacant state and the dream state, the spiritual experiences you have in the dream state is much more, if powerful, than what you are experiencing in the vacant state. Because from spiritual point of view, Swapnam dream state is more real than vacant state. If you think about it, you will get it. Why it is so? The reason for that is, in your vacant state, your senses are working. So every experience what you have, there is an interference from the senses. Senses are completely withdrawn. That means you have become more subtle in the dream state. That means only thing that's operating is the mind. So if you have a spiritual experience in the mind at that time, in the dream, that spiritual experience is more real than your experience in the vacant state with when your senses are present. That's the reason for that, right? So if such a thing happens in the vacant state, it won't have the same impact in you as much as if it has happened in the dream state, right? So prabhavam, the power is more in that dream state, right? So here you can see Arjuna is having this vision, special power which Krishna has given to him, right? In a particular place, he is showing everything, and that impact, everything what Arjuna wanted to see, he is seeing in one place, in Krishna. He is seeing that, right? So Krishna is saying here, this way you won't be able to see this with your eyes. Natumam sakshased. That's the reason why he said that. Krishna is saying, whatever you want to see, you can see in me, he said. And with your present eyes, you won't be able to do that. Nadumam shakyase drashtam. Ane neiva sa chakshusha. Divyam dadamide chakshu pashyame yogam aishwaryam. Right? So, now, this power of yoga shakti, what Krishna has shown, right, and which he has given to others in this way, has not happened in any other incarnation. What has happened here, right? This is a speciality of Krishnavadaram. Krishnavadaram and Ramavadaram, if you compare, you will see some differences there. In Krishna, Yogeshwaro Hari, right? Yogeshwaro Hari, he says in the next verse, Sanjay Vaja, Eva Muktva Tato Rajan, Mahayogeshwaro Hari. Krishna, Hari, Mahayogeshwara. This yoga power, like the way Krishna has shown in Krishnavadaram, he didn't show this in the Ramavadaram. There is a difference there, right? So, in Ramavadaram, here Krishna remained as Yogeshwara all the time. He was Yogeshwara. No covering. Always he was a powerful yogi. He didn't cover it up, right? In Ramavadaram, he covered it up. He was like an ordinary person. That is why we call them as Martyavadara Siha Martya Shikshanam. Martyavadaram it is. But Krishnavadaram is not Martyavadaram as such. Krishna has revealed who he is. There is a difference between Krishna's appearance and Ramachandra's appearance, right? And that is why in the Bhagavatam it said, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam, for this reason, right? And he displayed his that Ishwaratvam inside, that power, Ishwara power, in several instances like that, full demonstration, right? Keeping all the powers within himself, he will display it as and when he wanted it, right? reason for that is, by the time Krishnavataram happened, the situation in the world was so bad. Unlike Ramavataram time. Ramavataram was much better. People had a lot more spirituality in them. By Krishnavataram came, people have more become like, you know, the influence of Kali is getting closer to them, right? And Krishna knew that if I behave like Ramachandra, they will walk over me. People were like that. So therefore, he had to take care of himself and he decided to show who he is, right? Yogeshwaro Hari, right? And you see, Vilumangalam talks about this, Ramavataram and Krishnavataram, in one of his verses in the Karnamrutam. He mentions this, right? He says that when Yashoda Devi used to say Ramachandra's pastimes to Krishna as a baby to put him to sleep, Ramo nama babu vahum tabala sidhe dihum taupidu vaja panchavati vane viharadastha maharadravana. So Ramayana stories were Yashoda Devi was saying to Krishna to put him to sleep, right? And he says to him that there was a king by name Rama. He says to Krishna, Yashoda Devi says to Krishna, in them days, he's saying, there was a great king by name Rama. He says, Krishna says, And Yashoda's system was that Yashoda will skip the story, every sentence, and Krishna has to say, he heard it. He will say like that. If Krishna stops saying, Yashoda take it that he has gone asleep. And then Yashoda will leave Krishna and go. So that's how Yashoda put Krishna to sleep. So every night Krishna wants to hear bedtime stories. So Yashoda talks about Ramachandra's story. And then he said that his wife was named Sita. Krishna says, And then two of them went to the forest to justify the words of the father. Dasharatha was his father's name. And Dasharatha has said that they have to go to the forest, so they both have gone to the forest, he said. And Krishna says yes. Then Panchavati, they arrived in Panchavati, the place called Panchavati, right? From there, Ravana came and stole Sita Devi, he said. Up to this time, Krishna was nodding, When the story came to this stage, suddenly Krishna said, Lakshmana, where is the bow? He woke up from the bed and started asking for the bow, he says. And that is why that verse is, this is Vilumangalam, got this in his sopnam. In sopnam stage, all Krishna's pastimes, Vilumangalam received them in dream. And that is how this Karnamrutam came about. There's about 300 verses in there. Ramo nama babu vahum tadabala sidhe dihum taupidu vaja panchavadi vane viharadam tamaharadravana nidrartam janani kathamiti hare humkarada shrunvadam saumitre kwa dhanur dhaniridi vigragira panduva. It's a famous verse, right? And Vilumangalam does not want to see Ramachandra. Vilumangalam wanted to see only Krishna. Vilumangalam's deity was Krishna. Form was Krishna. What I'm saying this is the bhavam inside them, right? If you say this story to somebody, they won't believe it. They will think that this is all, manufactured things. And that's how mundane mind will work, right? This Vilumangalam goes to a temple. There's a famous Ramachandra temple. And the deity is Ramachandra. And Vilumangalam goes there. Prime Minister Modi was there before Ayodhya was opened, right? And then there, he goes in front of the deity and he says to the deity, I don't want to see this form. I want to see Krishna's form. And he says the form he wants to see. And then immediately the deity changes the form. Left the bow and arrow in the corner, and the bow and arrow is still there in the temple deity room.
which was used by the deity before, but it is still kept in the corner. And suddenly the form changed to please Vilumangalam. The deity changed the form. Now all these things is that bhavam inside, Vilumangalam's bhavam inside. It was so strong that Krishna could change the form for him to please him. Krishna did that, right? So the thing is that in Ramavataram, a lot of things happened. Ramachandra cries there, is it not? When Sita Devi was kidnapped, Ramachandra cries there, right? In Krishna Avataram, no crying business. Ramavataram, there's a lot of crying. Krishna Avataram, no crying at all, right? Ramavataram is a lot of tragedy there, right? He was trying to be a nice son, a nice husband, nice king, everything he was trying to. Sri Shuka Brahmarshi says, it is because of that only he had to cry, because he was trying to be nice to everything. And if you stay like this, you will have to cry, he said. Shuka Brahmarshi said that. Sri Sanginam Gajimidi Pradhayam Chachara in the Bhagavatam, you will see that if you try to be a nice person in this world, you will cry. Sri Sanginam Sanginam Gajimidi Pradhayam Chachara. So Rama was trying to teach the world that this is our normal situation, human nature situation is like this. We come, it's a human body, if you come here, you will have to suffer in this world. That's the offer. That's the offer package, right? So here it is not like that. Krishna's case is not like that. Mahayogeshwaro Hari. That's what Krishna's position is, right? No attachment anywhere. Not like Ramachandra. Ramachandra was attached to Sita Devi. And Sita Devi was kidnapped. Ramachandra wandered around in the forest crying for Sita Devi. No crying here. No such business. If all the 16,180 goes, doesn't care. That's the difference between Krishna Avataram and Rama Avataram. Right? So, and life was full of problems. Krishna's life, if you see, when he spent 125 years, not 1 minute he had rest. It started from the day he was born. The journey started from there itself. The day he was born, it started from the prison house to Gokula. And it began like that, and always problems throughout life. There was problems, right? And in the middle of all the problems, no attachment anywhere, right? Always smiling, not affected by anything, right? And if you ask the question, was Krishna's life successful or not? From mundane level, if you look at it, Krishna's life, was it successful, right? Family life was a disaster. At the end, the whole family got together, got drunk, beat up each other and died. Whole family life. So, as far as family life was concerned, was a disaster. Totally. Is it not? From our point of view, we are happy if we have children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren and all that. That series, right? If they all exist, we think that we have done a wonderful job as a householder. Krishna's householder life is like this. Total disaster. At the end, he decided that they shouldn't be here, because if they stay here, they'll create problems. So decided to wipe them out also. And finally send them all to Prabhasam. And even while going there, he says to them that you should listen to me, everything. But he didn't want them to listen. And they all got drunk. And they didn't take bottles with them. Instead, they took huge drums of alcohol with them to get drunk in Prabhasam. That's what they did. The children, Krishna's children, right? And they went to Prabhasam and had a good time, beat up each other, and they all died. And Krishna is smiling. This is Krishna Avataram. The difference in Krishna Avataram, right? Beginning, middle and the end, full of bliss, not affected by anything. And that is why in Bhagavad Gita, when you study, you have to see the person Krishna in there. Krishna's activities through Bhagavad Gita, right? And then you will understand Bhagavad Gita better. How, without attachment to anything, his life was in this world. And that is the message of Bhagavad Gita. Not to get affected by the life. That means Atma has nothing to do with what goes on in this world. That famous statement there, right? So, once it so happened, a sannyasi was walking in Kashi, right? And he has not studied Bhagavad Gita or anything. But he was a yogi. He has practiced yoga systems. You know Ashtanga Yoga? He has practiced that, right? And on his way, while walking there, a person who looked very effulgent, he came towards him. And he told him, and he was only wearing a cowpeen, nothing else, right? Then he asked him, have you studied Bhagavad Gita? This person who is effulgent. In Kashi, apparently in those days, it was like that. Many, many great personalities used to come to Kashi, you see. So many Mahatmas were present there. So he told this yogi, you should study Bhagavad Gita. But you should not study Bhagavad Gita like Arjuna has studied Bhagavad Gita. You should study Bhagavad Gita as though you are Krishna and study Bhagavad Gita. Then you will understand it. And if you study like Arjuna, then you will say like this, oh, Bhagavad Gita is very wonderful, but you will forget it. But if you study it like Krishna, then as Yogeshwara, if you study it like that, you will understand Bhagavad Gita better. He said like that. And then you will know what Maya is, he said. Right? So, what it is that Krishna's life was such that everything was crisis, every moment. Mahabharata war took a lot of that time and energy in that way. Then all these things happened. His own children got cursed by the rishis. That's how the end comes, isn't it? Samba, Pradyumna, they were all involved. His own dear children. And children gave him a lot of trouble. Have they not? Samba went and wanted to marry Lakshmana, Duryodhana's daughter. And there was no peace in Dwaraka. All the time, children will go and cause problems at different places. And then Krishna will start with his army, go there and fight everywhere. So many times it happened. So, Mahayogeshwara Hari. And that Hari is saying to Arjuna, you can see whatever you want now in me, right? What did he say? That darshaya masa parthaya paramam rupam aishwaram. Paramam rupam aishwaram, he is saying here, right? So, paramam rupam aishwaram. And my ishwara rupam. My ishwara rupam. And Vishwarupam, what is that Rupam? Vajo Vibhuti. Sanjay is also seeing this, you see. Sanjay is also seeing this. You see here, evam, yathokta prakarena uktva tadaha, anandaram he rajan, dhridharashtra, maha yogeshwara, mahancha aso yogeshwara cha hari, narayanam, darshaya masa darshitavan parthaya pratha, sudaya paramam rupam, Vishwarupam, Aishwaram. Right. Saying this, Krishna showed the universal form, what he Arjuna wanted to see. And that is the next few verses. Aneka Vaktranayanam, Aneka Albuddha Darshanam, Aneka Divyabharanam, Divya Aneka Odhyadayudham, Divya Malyam Bharadaram, Divya Gandhanulepanam, Sarvashiryamayam Deva, Anandam Vishwaromukham. Wherever you look, so many faces. And wherever you look, faces, eyes, and ears. And even if you look at a small worm in the universal form, that has also got its own eyes, its own ears, everything. Right? So, even a small worm, when it dies, the body will disintegrate, isn't it? It will turn out into material elements, whatever it is, right? And then in that dead body, any other living entities comes. Suppose, say, for example, if you take a bird and it dies, and the dead body, other living entities comes from that, right? And that has also got that living entity which is in that dead body, it has got life. See how this gross body exists, right? The way science understands the gross body and the way Shastram says about the gross body is different. Shastram is saying that this soul, think called soul, right? Without the presence of the soul, it cannot function. It is matter only. And in the gross body, for example, soul is present in us, which is operating the whole gross body. And within us, there are so many other living entities living inside. Is it not? Worms are there. Everybody has worms inside. And we say now, red corpuscles and white corpuscles in the blood and all. And there are living entities living within this body. So our gross body accommodates so many other living entities apart from us. And each one of those living entities, which is present inside us, they also got a soul in them. Soul is present in them as well. So soul is so difficult to understand how soul works. It's not that there's only one soul in this body. We have our soul, which we call as Jivatma. Actually, there is only one soul. But for understanding purposes, we make it like this, that soul is present in everything. In matter also, soul is present. So when the dead body lies there, the living entities are still lying in that, and they are surviving in them, right? And it has got also everything what we have got. It has got life in that. It has also got the awareness, aham, this bodham, consciousness. That's also got it, right? It has also got its own senses. May not be all the five senses what we have got, according to its structure, right? So where did they get their senses from? And that is working there. So it is difficult to explain everything through this principle of transmigration sometimes. It's difficult to explain through transmigration, right? Then you can't say everything you have brought from previous life, right? So here in this body, when Arjuna looked at it, Aneka Vaktra Nayanam, Aneka Albuda Darshanam, Aneka Divya Varanam, Divya Nego Jagagidam, Divya Malyam Bharadaram, Divya Gandhanu Levanam, Sarvam Asheryamayam Deva, Anandam Vishwadomukham. This is how Arjuna saw that form. Remember this, that not to see all these things as though we are seeing through our eyes. It is an experience Arjuna is having inside, and not what he is seeing through his gross eyes. This universal form is an experience Krishna has given to him, and he is experiencing it inside, this universal form, right? So, this is the sarvatra drishyate. In other words, so many forms, and all with individual eyes, individual ear, individual nose, individual mouth, all the different forms, all in one form. Just like in the dead body, you find so many living entities there, in the same way, right? That is the power of Atma. Atma's power, right? And you know how creation, according to Shastram, it is. Shastram is saying that senses developed. What are senses? Senses are deities, aren't they? They are deities. And if you study that Purusha Suktam prayer, you will find there demigods' prayers there. So when a child is born, right, inside the womb of the mother, we say at certain times different things develop in the body. Initially it starts with just the pea, from the semen, when it begins. And then slowly it becomes a piece of flesh, and then different parts of the body develop around that. And then senses come, right? What does it all mean? What does it all mean? We say the senses are developed. We keep saying it develops. It's all happening as though it's an automatic process. What? It is not automatic. That's what Bhagavatam is saying, right? When the Antaryami inside, when he wants and I want to see, at that time it comes out in the form of eyes, develops in that body, in that baby's body, right? And when he wants to hear, that thought has to come from Antaryami inside. When Antaryami thinks like that, immediately the ears come when it wants to hear. When Antaryami wants to have some sankalpam inside, mind comes. Similarly, whole subtle body and senses all coming from Antaryami's desire. That jiva inside is nothing but Antaryami there, is it not? Antaryami is the first one entering into the womb of the mother. And from there, when that development happens at different stages, when Antaryami wants that to happen. Yeah. So, and when Antaryami wants that Ahankaram has to come, it becomes jiva. Jiva is Ahankaram, right? So that means Abhimanam. Abhimanam means identification with the body. When Ahankaram is, when he wants to identify with the body, it becomes Ahankaram. That is how Ahankaram comes in us. Otherwise, how Ahankaram comes? Tell us, how does that happen? This ego, what we call inside, comes to us like this. When Antaryami inside, he wants it, all these things come. Senses come, mind comes, intelligence comes. Ahankaram also comes in the same way, right? It is all the sankalpam of the Antaryami inside, right? And when Antaryami decides he wants to be alone, not be affected by anything, it's Brahman. It's Brahman, without all these things. That is the power of the Atma. That's the power of the Atma, right? You have noticed this, you know all these things. Only thing, you may not have observed it. When children are born, right, they are purely Chaitanyam, they are. Senses have not started working yet. Yeah, senses are there, but not started functioning yet. So imagine a state in us when our senses are not working. It is there, but it's not working. For children, I'm saying, when the baby, newly born babies, right? If you observe the children, they are in the samadhi state at that time, when they are born, for some time. When they grow up, everything changes, right? And that is why you see the children when they are born, because senses have not started working yet, the mother tried to make the child to become conscious of the movement by moving things in front of the baby, different colors, present, hang them up in front, on the front of the baby to notice it. And when the baby sees the color, baby sees everything one color only. It doesn't have color differences, right? Why is that? Senses have not started working yet. None of the senses, right? Similarly, if you look at them, they will see that actually, sometimes when they laugh, if you observe them carefully, they will laugh as though they are in total bliss. They don't laugh like the way we laugh. We laugh very restricted way, a calculated laughing, ours is. Smile, we smile sometimes. But vasanas inside, you see. For them, because senses have not started working, practically the way the work is, everything is in the samadhi state. Absolutely unaffected by the modes of nature in them, right? So that because Chaitanyam is manifesting in them, not the vasana. Vasanas have not started working yet. Only Chaitanyam is manifesting, and that is the reason that when you see a child, baby like that, you feel so happy seeing its happiness. That baby's happiness, the way the baby smiles without any kind of it is not covered by anything. Pure happiness comes out, and that is the happiness of the Chaitanyam in the baby. Chaitanyam's happiness it is, right? That is purely chit, right? And then little by little by little, we hypnotize the child and we start injecting into the child, this is your mother, this is your father. Before that, he doesn't have any clue. He doesn't have a father, he doesn't have a mother. That all happens later, right? And one after the other, we wake up all the senses in the baby. We wake them up by using our methods. In other words, we bring that child into our world. Before it enters into our world, you have to observe these things, right? Even if we don't wake them up, it will wake up gradually, right? Because after some time, it wants to, that desire will come from inside. It wants to see, and then the eye will start working. Ear will start hearing. And tongue will start tasting. All the five senses will start working, right? And then after that, initially he won't say me, me, me. But then he will start saying, I am. The I will come strongly. By then Ahankaram also started working, right? So, and then he will say, that's mine. This is yours, that's mine. The same child will start saying, before that he won't say all these things when he is small. Only after a certain age, when the Ahankaram has come inside, start operating, senses start operating, only after that he will start saying mine, yours and things like that. Everything comes from inside, right? So if you want to understand the creation, all you have to do is to look at this baby. You will understand, right? Egastam pashya. So in the same way, Krishna is saying here that everything you can see in one place, because Chaitanyam is doing everything, you see. In our baby's case also, it is Chaitanyam who is developing that body from inside. Chaitanyam is making the changes in the body, making the senses to develop that sensory power. Similarly, making the subtle body to start operating, mind, intelligence, ego, everything. Similarly, Chaitanyam does that Ahankaram creates inside. And then we identify with the body strongly after that. So practically, this whole body changes. Is controlled by the Antaryami inside. Antaryami is behind it. The power behind everything is Antaryami, right? And so you can see that this description here, Divyamalyam Bharadaram, Divyagandhanulepanam, Sarva Ashcharyamayam Deva, Anandam Vishwato Mukham. All these things, you see, for example, Divya Malyam, the garlands, right? And Divya Gandhanulevanam, all what you spray on your body, right? Sarva Ashcharyamayam Devam. Where did the human species get this idea of putting the ring in the hand, in the finger, putting the chain or necklace in the neck? Is come from Andriya, from Krishna. Krishna means that from these things, how to decorate this, the way we are now decorating the body, this mindset or this understanding has come from Vishnu's form. Vishnu's forms. Vishnu had all these things. And from that we learned that it would be nice to have this around the neck and all the other things what we put it on our body to decorate, right? We don't have anything original our own. It is not that the goldsmith or the other jewelers invented all these things. Nobody invented that. The idea behind all these things, original source is Krishna inside, right? So we are actually a miniature form of that, miniature form, right? It is all yogis' vision. Yogis have seen these forms in their mind, in their vision, and they translated that and we started doing it later. That's how all the jewelry had come to us. The kind of jewelry what we use now, it's all originally in that form, in this form. That's what Divya Malyam Bharadaram Divya Gandhani Levanam Sarva Ashcharyamayam Devam Anandam Vishwadomukham. Right? And then he's saying here that yogis have seen Krishna in this form, right? And what he is saying here, anega divyabharanam divyamalya ambaradaram divyagandhanulepanam sarva ashcharyamayam, and earlier 10th verse, anega albhuta darshanam anega divyabharanam divyanekodyutha ayudam divyamalya ambaradaram divyagandhanulepanam sarva ashcharyamayam deva anandam vishvadomukham. Gopi says about Krishna that they were looking for Krishna in the forest, right? And they saying that they could smell Krishna, they are saying. They could smell Krishna, Krishna's presence, right? So if you look into the 10th canto, you will see there in the... Gopi saying this, they were looking for Krishna in the forest. And they are saying, Appyanapat Nubakada Priyayeha Gatrai, 11th verse in the 30th chapter, 10:30-11. Appyanapat Nubakada Priyayeha Gatrai, Stanvindrisham Sadisanar Vridimachyutova, Kanda Angasanga Kucha Kungamaranjidaya, Kundasraja Kulapateriha Vadi Gandhaha. Vadi Gandhaha, from the Gandham, he is saying there that somewhere Krishna smell is coming. They are saying like that. Krishna smell is coming, right? So, Krishna was obviously wearing flowers, lavender flowers, which was very strong in smell, right? And along with that, kumkum has been mixed with that, and the wind that was coming is carrying this aroma of that flower. And so gopis are saying Krishna's smell is coming from somewhere. That's how they said. They didn't say lavender smell, but because they could identify that so clearly how Krishna smells. When Krishna is decorated with all the flowers and all the other things, kalapam, kungumam and all that, it's all mixed up, and Krishna used to decorate his body with that. So, everything has a smell, right? Krishna also has a smell. And gopis were able to sense that from a distance. They say, from such a particular direction, Krishna's smell is coming, they said, like that. And similarly, this is how it is spoken, right? Knowledge, jnanam, also has a smell. People who have highly realized personalities, if they have lived in some place, and even if they left the body, their smell will be there. It's not the smell what we are talking about. You experience their presence inside. Right. So therefore you will see this spoken in many, many different places, that how this smell of devotees and smell of Krishna comes. In the temple also you will notice this, right? Yogis talk about that siddhas also, and they'll say that when they enter into certain places that they can smell, from the smell they can find who lived there, who have present there. Without any reason, if a smell comes, what that means is some great personality was present there before, right? Bhakti has got a smell. Bhakti has also got a smell, right? So that is why, you know, when they have this sampradaya bhajana, they will, all the Bhagavadas, they will cover their body with garlands and decorate their body well. That is the smell of bhakti, right? So bhakti also create a feeling in others. If somebody has a great devotee comes, his presence will be affected to others also. Right? So, here, Krishna's Sugandham, Divi Surya Sahasrasya bhaved yugapadutthitaha yadhi vasadrashi syasya vasastasya mahatmana. How Arjuna saw that form, that divi andarikshe tridiyasyam va divi suryanam sahasram surya sahasram tasya yugapadutthisya patidasya ya yugavat utthitaha sa yadhi sadrashi syasya mahatmana vishwarupasya. Thousands of sun together, their effulgence, that kind of illumination present there, right? And you can say that the universal form was more effulgent than all other powerful light in this world. It was that effulgent, right? So, Ramatirtha used to say this, right? Sometimes he will say he or she, and sometimes he will say it. So you heard about Ramatirtha, Swami Ramatirtha, Vivekananda's disciple he was from Lahore. He was an amazing personality he was. He traveled to Japan. He was so affected by Vivekananda. And then he traveled to Japan, and from Japan he went to America. And seeing his realizations, a lot of Americans at that time in America mentioned this to President Roosevelt, who was there. Roosevelt wanted to meet him. And then Roosevelt has a conversation with him. It's all recorded. All this is recorded history. He speaks to Roosevelt. He says, "I am an emperor in my own empire," he says. And he will not use me or I. He will use Rama. Rama, he says. Like an emperor, he spoke, right? So he says, Ramatirtha says, he is not Mr. or Mrs. or Miss. He is a mystery, he says. He is not Mr., Miss or Mrs., but he is a mystery, right? So that is how he was a jnani, great jnani he was, right? So in jnani's eyes, Chaitanyam is the only reality, consciousness, right? And therefore it's a mystery. He said that, right? So Upanishads also says in the same way about jnanis. That is why in that Kathopanishad famous statement, it is in the Bhagavad Gita, quote taken also, right? So why is the soul such an ashcharyam? Ashcharyam means it is a wonder. It is a wonder, isn't it? Soul is a wonderful thing. Difficult to understand, and the kind of things that can happen with the soul. It is impossible to explain that, right? And so this feeling of this ashcharyam, what is the English word for that? Ashcharyam means?
Amazing.
Amazing. Here everybody says it's amazing. Amazing is only for the soul. Because soul is the most amazing thing, isn't it? So, amazing is saying here that this amazing experience what we get is, when does that happen? It happens when the Shraddha Shakti inside us wakes up, right? And it is an experience in the mind. This, when you say something is amazing, where is that coming from? That feeling of something is amazing, right? It comes in the mind, is it not? In the mind, that's where you are experiencing it. And what is that happening in the mind at that time? That means your Shraddha Shakti inside, Andaryami Shraddha Shakti, it has woken up, and it is in that Shraddha Shakti that this, in your mind, that this amazing experience happened. Look at the children, for example. Everything is amazing with them, if you look at them, right? When we get older, right, as you get older, right, half of our body has become useless, and somehow you keep on managing with it, right? And half dead we are practically, it's not. It's not doing functioning like the way it used to function when you were a child. It's got half dead, and then you are somehow, even when you get up, you can see how we get up, how we walk, how we do different things. Everything becomes a big endeavor for us. For a child, it is not like that, is it not? When a child is doing that, you observe a child. Child doesn't get up like the way we get up. Child doesn't do all that things, right? So, for them, everything is different. Everything is same. It does not affect them, right? So this ashariyam, what we experience in the mind, is like a samadhi state it is, what you are experiencing inside, right? For example, when the sun rises, the rishis glorify the sunrise in a big way. And it is in the Vedam also, the sunrise. For us, sunrise, what does it matter? That's our attitude. The rishi's attitude is, sunrise itself is an amazing thing for them, right? And there are verses in the Rig Vedam talks about Hiranmayena Patrena, Divya Chakshudadatam and all that. So they consider all those things amazing things, right? And we are not able to notice any of these manifestations of Chaitanyam in the creation, in Prakriti. We don't notice that, right? And then we say, we want to see God, so we go to the temple to see God. God is present in the nature itself, in all these different forms, is showing that, right? And then we look at the TV to see God in the TV. That's where our God is, in the TV, in the reels and all the other places, right? But samadhi has to come from the proper way of samadhi state has to come from the nature itself by seeing the nature, sunrise, sunset. Similarly, when it rains, is that not an amazing phenomenon what happens, right? So, Krishna says there that rain is me. I am coming down as rain. He said that in the 7th chapter, right? Varsham, Varshami Ulsrajami. So, Srishti, in creation, Krishna has given us so many ways for us to see Him in different forms. In different forms, right? And he talks about this. Ramachandra also in Ramayanam says, in the Kishkindha Kandam, Ramachandra says, when the rain was showering from the clouds, right? Valmiki refers to that in Kishkindha Kandam, he fell into samadhi state, seeing that. So you can see how they were in tune with the nature, the rishis. So much in tune with the nature, they see all these things and they mention that in their literature, in Mahabharatam as well as in Ramayana. Sunrise, sunset, oceans, rivers, mountains, forests, the behavior of the animals, birds, they take all these things as manifestation of divinity, presence in the creation. And only if you have a mind like that, you can understand all the things what Krishna is saying here. Whereas our mind is totally aloof from this, totally isolated. So mechanical it has become now, that if you want to see the forest, we have to see it in the television. If you have to see the sunrise, it has to be in the television or in a big screen in the house. People have got this big screen now, so that everything in one place. So, look at the effect of modern way life, what have happened to us because of that, right? So, Rishi is saying, if a flower is opening up, they consider ashariyam is this. How it all happens automatically, not automatically, the presence of chaitanyam coming out when the flower opens up in the morning, in the sunshine, right? Similarly, when a baby is born, how the whole mechanism system works, right? And how the bees come and suck the honey from the flowers. All this setup is already working very well, right? This is all Acharyam, he says. And similarly, how the birds make their nests in the tree. Is that not an Acharyam, how they do that, right? So, and there is one verse, it's famous. Avaya wrote this. She said that, you are not surprised by seeing how the bird is building the nest in the tree, right? And then you are writing poetry on that and saying, Acharyam, Acharyam. How wonderful it is, right? So, actually, whole creation is Acharyam. Whole creation is Acharyam, if you look at it in the proper way. And that's what he's saying here. Divi Surya Sahasrasya Bhaven Yugabadhu Tida Yadida Sadashi Syasyal Vasastrasya Mahatmana. Right? It is unlimited. This Acharyam is unlimited. Krishna's manifestations, right? Anandam Vishwado Mukham. And this variety in the creation makes it more interesting. Suppose everything has come in one form as Krishna, it will get boring after that. So he has given this variety also to us, right? And similarly, in creation, if all of us were looking similar, it would be boring, isn't it? If all of us looked similar, it would be very boring. If you look everywhere, they're all looking the same. But because we are all looking different, it makes it interesting. Isn't it? Otherwise, what's the fun? Imagine if we all look the same, and we are all looking same, and we are all speaking the same thing. And it'll be so boring. It all makes it interesting because we are all different, right? And that is what he's saying here, that everything original is Krishna, right? Variety he has created. Original is him, he is Krishna, right? So, Krishna's speciality is that whatever he creates, it's not, two things are not the same. They're all different, right? And you will see this, he has mentioned in the 8th chapter also. Therefore, he is Kavim Purana Manishasidharam in the 9th verse in the 8th chapter. Right? That he is the Kavi, greatest Kavi. And every one of us is his poetry. He is the poet. Poetry is the modern usage for that. Actually, it is Kavi. Kavi is different than poet. Poet and Kavi is not the same. Because there is no other equivalent word in English. They use poetry. Poet writes, it's a carpentry of words. He put it together, you become a poet then. Kavi is not like that. Kavi means Kranta Darshi. It means that one who can think, see things in a very subtle level. He is Kavi. One who can see things in a very subtle level. Right? So, if you look at all living entities in this world, we are all Krishna's Kavita. Kavita means poetry. Each one of us is created like that, right? And if you look at each one of our life, it's a novel. Every one of us can write a novel about our own life. Each one of us, right? So, only thing is, we may not get any award or anything from the literature. So, life, if you look, one person's life is not the same as another person's life. Everyone has gone through different experiences in life. They all had different things to say about life. Every one of us have got different things, right? Similarly, one person's life is not like another person's life, right? And every one of us know in our life what will happen in the next moment, we don't know. What can happen in the next moment, right? And that is the beauty of this life, ecstasy. What will happen in the next moment in each one of our life, we don't know, right? If you leave this room now and we go home, what is going to happen? Nobody knows. Anything can happen, is it not? So, this unknown situation in our life, right? And staying in this suspense like that, that is where Ishwaratvam is. Krishna's control on us, right? Keeping us in this state, not allowing us to think what will happen the next moment. That's how we live in this world, is it not? We all live in this world, even though we may not become fully conscious of that, the reality is like that, that any moment anything can happen in our life. And Krishna is able to keep that in suspense all the time, will not reveal it to us, how it will happen, right? So, based on this only, astrology and Kundali and all other things have come. It is based on this suspense, what we are in. Otherwise, astrology won't be there. Astrology survives on this, is it not? So, you can see and say anything about the future. It may not happen that way, right? Why? Because that is Krishna's territory. Krishna won't allow us to have that. Ashcharyam. So, Anandam Vishwato Mukham, he said, right? So, when we are looking at somebody's face, actually you are seeing Krishna through that face, in every face, right? And you should not look at the ego of the person. Normally what we see is the ego in that person. Ego sees the ego in another person, right? But inside that, actually, Vishwada Chakshuhu, right? Through all the eyes, Krishna is seeing. The Andaryami inside is seeing, right? That is why in the 13th chapter, 14th verse, Sarvada Panipadam Dal, Sarvada Akshi Shiromukam, Sarvada Shudimal Loge, Sarva Mahavrutya Trishtadi, Bhagavad Gita. Sarvada Panipadam Dal, that is the truth and understand that Krishna's eyes and hands, legs everywhere. What does that mean? As Andaryami, present in everyone, every eye in this world is Krishna's eye, actually. Andaryami's eyes. Sarvada Panipadam Dal, all the hands and legs are Krishna's hands and legs. Sarvado Akshi Shiromukham, the eyes everywhere, it is Krishna's eyes, not our eyes, Krishna's eyes. That means the Andaryami inside is seeing through those eyes. Akshi Shiromukham. Sarvada Shrimal Loge, Sarva Mahavrutya Trishtadi. Right? One who realizes this, that it is Krishna who is present in everything, and Krishna is seeing everything, and he will get all the realizations easily. Right? And similarly, everywhere it is Krishna's present through all the different hearts. Right? The throbbing of the heart is Krishna's presence inside. Right? Divya Gandha Anulepanam Sarva Asharyamayam Devam Anandam Vishwadomukham Anega Vaktranayanam Anega Albuda Darshanam Anega Divya Bharanam Divya Malyam Divya Anega Adyathayudam. So, all these verses is to teach us spiritual life. In other words, if you enter into spiritual life and if your consciousness changes spiritually, then every moment in life is a thrill, provided we have embraced spirituality in life. If you remain in the mundane level all the time, based on the mind intelligence, then it will be very difficult to relate with universal form. Yeah? And therefore, all this creation itself is Maya's production, isn't it? This whole creation is Maya's production, right? And through Maya, what it is showing is that what Maya has produced like this, a realized soul will see all these things as production of Ishvara. Ishvara's presence he will notice in all this what Maya has produced, right? So everything they see that as manifestations of Ishvara in them. It has come from Maya, no doubt, but realized soul will see that in these manifestations are all This is all happening because of the presence of Chaitanyam in Maya. Chaitanyam in Maya. And that is what he was saying there. Divi Surya Sahasrasya. So these verses you have to think about it in a little different way than the normal way we read and understand. It's not for understanding, in other words. There are many verses in the Bhagavad Gita, not for understanding with the mind and intelligence. Some verses in the Bhagavad Gita, you can only accept it after self-realization. There are some verses, we'll come to that later. Some verses in the Bhagavad Gita, if you read it, you won't understand it. But then when will you understand? After self-realization. There are certain verses in the Bhagavad Gita. Here, this description here, Divisuvirya Sahasrena, Bhavet Yugapaduttida, Yadiva Sadrishi Syasya, Vasastasya Mahatmana. He is saying thousands of suns together, that much light. Now, if I start looking at it and measure the light intensity with our equipment and all that, it won't work. That's not what it is meant for, right? So, at a time it is saying, if you can imagine that powerful it was, right? So, that means if thousand suns come together, we won't be able to see it with this eye. This eye is not capable of seeing that, right? So, so that means, this is an experience inside Arjuna is having, what he is experiencing. It is not that he is seeing with his material eyes. Instead, not through the senses he is seeing that, but it is experiencing it inside, right? So what is happening now, this is not Indriya Grahya, not done with the senses, but he is seeing Krishna, Chaitanyam with Chaitanyam. He is experiencing Chaitanyam with Chaitanyam. That's what it is. And that is what spiritual means. Spirituality means experiencing Chaitanyam. Experiencing Chaitanyam with Chaitanyam, right? So, saying that, he said, Tatraikastam, after those verses, Tatraikastam jagal krishnam pravibhaktam anegatha abhashyad deva devasya sharire pandavastada. He said, in one place, he saw, experienced everything. He experienced everything. And he saw this creation in one place. And so, tatraigastam jagal krishnam pravibhaktam anegatha apashyad deva devasya sharire pandavastada. Arjuna has seen that. What it's saying is, in one adhishtanam, in one location, Arjuna experienced everything, this whole universal form of Krishna. Krishna was able to give that to Arjuna in one location. So you can see, if you study these verses, you cannot study them through mind, senses, intelligence. This is not for mind, sense, intelligence. This is something that is happening in that divine level, divine stage, right? So Arjuna had to become to that divine stage. Krishna has to put him into that to experience that. Not otherwise. It's not possible. We'll discuss it tomorrow, next Tuesday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada.